soundcloud.com/flashpoints. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Tune in Saturday, August 10th for a special edition of Grateful Dead and Friends from noon to 2 p.m. The show will be broadcast live from Bloom Garden Supply for their annual summer party, featuring food, drinks, and giveaways. Sun will be hosting and playing tunes from the Grateful Dead and Legion of Mary. Again, that's Grateful Dead and Friends live from Bloom Garden Supply on Saturday, August 10th at noon here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Peace, Love, and Soup, bringing you significant soups along with culture, cooking, and conversation. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Clinton Street Theater, open since 1915, featuring independent films, parties, and community events, located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. Full event schedule, tickets, showtimes, and more information online at cstpdx.com. And now, peace, love, and soup.
Welcome to Peace, Love, and Soup, bringing you a significant soup each month along with culture, cooking, and conversation.
With Brian Delaney
and Tave Fache Drake.
Life is like eating a watermelon. You know you're going to get some seeds. Just spit them out and take another bite.
That's right. Dear listeners, since National Watermelon Day falls in August, we have prepared an episode for you that is nothing less than refreshing. Just like the delicious fruit itself.
The epitome of summer.
The wonderful watermelon. And because the solar eclipse aligns with the new moon,
which is also our release date,
we're calling this episode Watermelon Soup for the Solar Eclipse.
We will also be introducing you to the world of Ayurveda,
the healing science of the sun,
with the guidance of the ever-kind and knowledgeable Alicia Schaefer.
And this episode's music is a flashback to when artist Rachel Siegel and I made a short film aptly titled It's a Watermelon. So get ready for some fun little ditties you can't help but hum to.
And new to our Peace, Love, and Soup family, Coco the Correspondent from the KBOO Youth Collective, bringing us a special on-the-street segment, How Do Portlanders Pick the Perfect Watermelon?
I can't wait to find out.
Stay tuned.
We have many juicy tidbits of information we can hardly wait to share with you. But first, Brian, let's talk a little bit about this momentous and rare event occurring on August 21st.
That's right. We're talking about the Great American Eclipse.
And you've got some trivia to share with us about this, don't you?
Yes. Please sit back and enjoy this information. You know, for a little over 2.5 minutes, the moon will completely block the sun and day will turn into night.
Are we going to be able to see stars?
You will. You'll see stars.
Like the Big Dipper?
Mm-hmm. You'll see planets and you'll also see the otherwise hidden solar corona. And the last time there was a total eclipse of the sun, seen from coast to coast, was nearly 100 years ago, on June 8th, 1918.
I don't even know anyone that old that I can ask if they saw it.
I don't either.
When's the next one going to be?
August 12th, 2045. So that's 28 years from now.
Maybe we'll be around to see that.
Knock on watermelon. But wait, did you see one when you were a kid?
You know what? There was one on the West Coast in 1979, and I had just turned 12, and I did see that one. You know, you were worried you were going to get blinded if you snuck a peek. You had to make those pinhole camera viewer things. We've got fancy glasses now, so have no fear. And if we stay in Portland, we'll witness a 99% eclipse, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Or we could hit the road and travel into the path of totality, along with the 1 million or so estimated visitors journeying to our fair state of Oregon to view this celestial spectacle. I just want to let everyone know we're planning to be good hosts and we're remaining calm as our population temporarily grows by 25%.
Stay calm. And
and watermelon.
I think it's time that we bring out some extra lawn chairs.
Indeed.
And get our watermelon soup ready for the very big show.
Let's go. History of the watermelon. Watermelons, botanically called a pepo, are a member of the gourd family, along with cucumbers, cantaloupes, squash, and pumpkins. They originated in southern Africa, with evidence of its cultivation as far back as ancient Egypt, where watermelon seeds were found in the tomb of Pharaoh Tutankhamun, King Tut.
In the 7th century, watermelons were being cultivated in India, and by the 10th had reached China, which today is the world's single largest watermelon producer. The Moors introduced the fruit to Andalusia, Spain, in the 13th century, spreading throughout the rest of Europe between the 15th and 17th centuries. It was European colonists and slaves from Africa that then introduced the watermelon to the New World. By 1692, it was being grown in Massachusetts.
And around that same time, Native Americans were cultivating the crop in Florida and the Mississippi Valley.
Today, Texas, California, Arizona, Georgia, and Florida are the United States' largest watermelon producers.
The sweet, juicy, fleshy center is usually deep red to pink, but there are variations of the fruit in orange, yellow, and white, all with black seeds. Considerable breeding efforts have been made to make disease-resistant seedless varieties.
Seedless watermelons became more popular in the 21st century,
rising to nearly 85% of total watermelon sales in the United States in 2014.
There are more than 1,200 varieties of watermelon, ranging in weight from less than 2 pounds to more than 200 pounds. Here are but a few that strike our fancy.
The Orange Glow has a very sweet orange flesh.
The Carolina Cross is the current world's record holder for heaviest watermelon, grown in Tennessee in 2013, weighing 351 pounds.
Wow.
The Moon and Stars variety is a purplish-black with brown seed watermelon
and has small yellow circles as stars and one or two large yellow circles
as the moon.
The Cream of Saskatchewan has a green striped rind and sweet white flesh
and grows well in cool climates. It was originally brought to Canada by the Russian immigrants. And the Dentsuki watermelon has a solid black exterior.
It's grown only on the island of Hokkaido, Japan. One of the first harvested sold at auction for $6,300,
making it the most expensive watermelon ever.
The average selling price is generally around $250.
Watermelons have been viewed as a major symbol in the iconography of racism in the United States as early as the late 1700s.
Defenders of slavery used the fruit to paint African Americans as a simple-minded people, happy when provided watermelon and a little rest. This misrepresentation was perpetuated in minstrel shows,
where actors in blackface, given to song and dance, were depicted as being inordinately fond of watermelon. Later, free slaves grew, ate, and sold watermelon. To some, this was a threat to the racial order, but to others, the fruit became a symbol of freedom.
Contrary to studies disproving the validity of this stereotype, the negative association continues to this day.
Watermelon. I'd do anything for a watermelon. That flavored styrofoam is found in every summer home. Equipped with ammunition, you can spit upon your friends. Watermelon. What's a summer without a watermelon? If you forget to bring the football, there's a seedy substitute. But if you fumble, you'll have watermelon soup.
We're so grateful to have with us here today in the studio Alicia Schaefer, an Ayurvedic practitioner based in Portland who does workshops and private consultation for those near and far. Welcome.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Alicia. Will you please enlighten us about the wonders of living an Ayurvedic lifestyle? And what exactly is Ayurveda?
Ayurveda is an over 5,000-year-old medical system from ancient India. It includes herbal medicine, food, cleansing, breath work, and it's the sister science to yoga. So yoga and Ayurveda come from the same philosophy.
And you are a yoga instructor as well.
Yeah.
And you also do nutritional counseling.
Yeah. I found Ayurveda and realized like this encapsulates everything that I've, you know, kind of studied already and ties it all together and this whole approach to health.
Well, I know when I took your workshop, there was something really like, about it, like, oh my gosh, this just all fits together. So would you talk to us about those three different body types and three different seasons, and then maybe talk a little about the season we're in, which I remember is Pitta.
Yeah, that's right. So there are three seasons in Ayurveda and three doshas or body types. And we have Pitta, like you mentioned, that's associated with the summer season. Heat. So when we think of Pitta, we think of fire and heat, hot, light. And then we have the fall, winter. They're lumped together in Ayurveda, which is Vata. So this is cold, dry qualities of winter. And the elements associated with those are air and ether. And then we have Kapha, which is the spring season, the heavy, soft. And the elements associated with Kapha are earth and water. Kapha people are more slow and sluggish and solid and stable, and cinnamon is great for kapha because it's kind of zingy and it gets them going, spices them up. And that's the system behind Ayurveda. I've noticed for myself, I'm primarily Vata and Pitta. So in the winter, which is the Vata season, I'll have more Vata-related issues, dry skin, that kind of stuff. And then summer, I'll have more heat-related issues. So for myself, it's really helped me tune into what's going on and why it's happening, and then be able to do the opposite to balance it. So each of these seasons, as I just said, has different qualities and different elements associated with them. At first, when I was learning Ayurveda, I thought, well, how can we all be described by three doshas? That's not true, because each person is a combination of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha.
And that has to do with the season itself, but also a person's general constitution.
Right.
Or dosha.
Yes.
And then in this season,
summer, we're kind of going to talk about Pitta in this interview, and I have a lot of Pitta in me, so I'm pretty affected by the heat. Like, I'll get heat-related issues such as inflammation or headaches. So we are affected by the season because it carries that dosha, and if we are predominantly that dosha, we're more affected.
Ah,
yeah.
Can you really guess what we would be?
I would say you're both predominantly Pitta.
And what makes you think that?
Pitta is everything medium, you know, medium musculature. Okay. And hair type. Pittas tend to have wavy hair or not as much hair. And driven. You guys seem to be both very driven.
There's, in a kind way.
Definitely in a kind way. But note to our listeners, Brian is handsomely clean shaven on top of his head. So
I naturally started balding at around 25. And hair started spreading in other parts of my body other than my head.
That's a very Pitta thing. It's your body type.
So we have these three different doshas, or three different body types, but it isn't that everybody fits into one of those. It's everybody is one predominantly, but then a different blending of the other two. Yes?
Yeah, that's well said. One of my teachers says we're a confluence of factors, you know, and each dosha has all of its factors.
The confluence of factors is concise.
Yeah, it is, right?
Something I am not known for.
It's the title of your new book.
What are the best ways to eat for this season that we're in?
So it's very intuitive, actually. Foods that cool us down. So, you know, salads, cucumbers, cilantro, lime, coriander, berries, melons. Rose is really cooling in the summer. White rice, chicken, almonds, licorice.
Watermelon.
Watermelon, exactly. Anything with water. Yeah. Dairy, actually, ice cream is pretty good for summertime. Yeah.
Okay. It's great to know that. Sometimes we think of these other healthier ways of living, and people immediately think no gluten, no dairy, no whatever. So it's very enlightening and refreshing.
And that's what I love about Ayurveda also is you can't say no gluten and no dairy for everybody, because actually for some body types, those foods are good if they're able to digest them properly. And it's good to eat wheat in the winter in Ayurveda because it's very grounding, and the winter season is kind of described as very airy. Mm-hmm. You're up in the air. So you feel anxious and erratic, so the wheat helps ground you. You know, if you're eating locally from your region and you're eating what's in season, nature's providing you with the foods that are going to cool you down.
So when in doubt, eat what's local and in season, and you're probably not going to be too far off track.
Exactly.
So we're talking about cooling tips for the season. What are the benefits of watermelon?
So watermelon, it's a sweet fruit. So in Ayurveda, there are six tastes: sweet, sour, salty, bitter, astringent, and pungent, sort of similar to our Western tastes. But there's three that are considered cooling for the body. Those are bitter, astringent, and sweet. And watermelon, or any ripe fruit, is going to be sweet. So great to eat now, and they're in season, of course.
Can you talk to us about the Ayurvedic way to eat fruit?
One of the rules Ayurveda has is to eat fruit away from meals. So either an hour before meals or an hour after meals, or preferably as a snack by itself. And in Ayurveda, they say that the biggest meal is in the middle of the day. And here we talk about having a good breakfast, and that is true. Yeah, eat a good breakfast. Don't be depriving your brain of energy in the morning. And I grew up in England too, and we did this. So I'm sure it's not just in ancient India, but if we're going to, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but talk about a watermelon soup, that would be a really great summer dinner item, because we want our dinner to be light, not eating heavy at the end of the day, and it's by itself. It would be a nice little just light dinner item.
You really don't want to tax your digestive system during the summer.
Yeah, that's true. He says, yes.
I need to get out my gold star right now. Put it right on your little bald head.
It's true, yeah. So our bodies are already naturally very hot in summer. We're retaining heat, and we don't really want to build a lot more heat by making our digestive system work a lot. Like eating foods that are already ripe, fruits and vegetables, you don't have to create as much digestive fire. In Ayurveda, we say digestive fire. And
so just in the winter months, then you need to eat warm foods to warm your body when it's cold.
Right. Okay.
Not to go off on these tangents, but I used to get really sick before I figured out food was medicine.
Yeah, a preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was acupuncture was saying, why are you eating salads in the wintertime? You need to be eating warm, cooked food. And like, well, I just don't cook too much. And that's what kind of led me to the soup world. That's when I started making soups. And I did. I made myself healthier.
Great.
Yeah. And here we are.
And here we are making soup podcasts.
Lovely.
So do you have a refreshing watermelon soup recipe?
I could concoct one on the spot, maybe. I love it. Okay. I'm thinking other cooling things like mint and lime and cucumber could possibly go in there. Okay. What do you think?
Mint, super refreshing. It sounds like it'd pair nice with the melon, so I love that. And citrus, would you go lime or lemon?
So lime is cooling, but lemon's actually kind of pitta provoking.
Oh.
So
we'll do lime.
I was thinking, what about jicama?
I have a jicama story for you.
I will say,
you know, that's going to be good when someone says that.
I love this idea of jicama, actually, because I love how crunchy it is. It's got like a little bit sweet, but at the same time, it's not overpowering.
Right.
What about taking some of the rind and like slivering up some of that and either garnishing it on top or mixing it through?
I love that.
And then, because we know that you can also roast and salt the seeds, what about like sprinkling those on top?
That sounds delicious. I think you have your soup right there.
Okay. And then no one can be calling this a smoothie at that point.
You know, I thought of something else. I read recently that watermelon rind is really great for rashes, which is another, you know, heat pitta thing. So just rub it on because it's that cooling.
Yeah, like hello.
Do you know bananas? The peels work the same way for burns. Yeah, my friend, Baker Dan, burnt himself. Yeah.
Poor Baker Dan. We had Baker Dan as a guest on our March episode.
Did he burn himself?
He did not.
Well, not that episode.
Oh, thank heavens.
This is a more recent thing.
When you mentioned the bananas, that's also reminding me, you were recently on a trip to Cuba.
Oh my gosh, I was.
They have bananas there? I'm kidding.
Yeah, you better be.
Well, I had read about a variety of watermelon called the Cuban watermelon.
Oh,
by
really?
Any chance, did you taste it when you were there?
I did have watermelon there, actually. Yeah, and it was pink with black seeds. everything was fresh from people's gardens. So it must have been like a true Cuban watermelon, I imagine.
And then you had mentioned to me that place you stayed.
Yeah. Funnily enough, we stayed with a family in the countryside, and they had an Airbnb, and they called them Casa Particulars there. And their Casa Particular was named Watermelon Wanderlust. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got the email from Tappy when I got back. We're doing watermelon soup.
And we're like, hey.
I love synchronicity. I love that. That's so good.
You have a workshop coming up.
I do.
Tell me what the focus of that is.
So it's really exactly what we're talking about, how to cool down, release all that heat that's built up over the summer and not carry that over into the winter and have it cause a whole host of winter health problems. Yeah, so I'll be talking about that and some different food, yoga, breathing exercises we can do to cool down.
Do you have any other tips or tricks like that for the summer month that we're in now?
Yeah, there's a fun one. We could try it together right now, actually. It's a breathing exercise, pranayama. And what you do, you stick out your tongue and then curl your tongue.
What if you can't curl your tongue?
Okay, so if you can't curl your tongue, then clench your teeth together.
Oh.
Like you're biting into a cucumber.
All right, I want to do the teeth clench as the thing.
So on your next inhale, you inhale through your curled tongue or your clenched teeth. And then pause for a second at the top of the breath. And then exhale through your nose. Right. So if you do this 5 to 10 times, 3 sets of that every day, and that's very cooling for your body. Can you feel how the air is cold through your tongue or your teeth?
I can.
So we can do that whenever we want to cool our body down.
Anytime. Actually, it's great if you're feeling aggravated, frustrated. All those things are very pitta related.
Yeah.
So cool yourself down.
And then what else? Is there maybe a simple pose or something as well that one could do? Or
Any kind of twisting pose is great for releasing heat in the body, because as we were talking about, pitta lives in the digestive system. And when you're twisting, you're wringing out your digestive organs, your liver and your spleen and your small intestine. So, yeah, I mean, if you're just sitting in the chair and you kind of reach kind of your head to the sky and twist to the right or left in your chair, hold for a few seconds.
It's like radio yoga.
Exhaling is when you're really releasing heat from your body too. So really exhaling, like as you know, on twisting, you exhale in yoga.
I love it.
You can do that on the ground. You can do it standing up and use your arms, do it in the chair.
So you're like wringing out your body.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can find out more information about you and the work you do.
So for the workshop, it'll be, you know, like a private session that's here in Portland. So you'll do a initial session that would be 2 hours and then 2 follow-ups that are 1 hour each and more if you like, you know, and we'd give you Ayurvedic tips, nutrition, yoga, herbal medicine, everything that Ayurveda offers.
Wow,
that's wonderful.
And you can email me if you're interested in getting Ayurveda care at a low cost. So my email is lysschaeffer@gmail.com.
LysSchaeffer@gmail.com.
Yes.
And you have a Facebook page also.
I do. Yeah, it's under my name, Alicia Schaeffer, E-L-Y-S-S-I-A. And then my last name is S-C-H-A-E-F-F-E-R. And I post what I'm doing, stuff about Ayurveda on there, tips and...
Oh, your classes and events and clinics will also be...
Exactly, on there. Yes.
And we'll have all that information on our blog as well as on our Peace, Love, and Soup Facebook page.
Good luck to you guys.
It's appreciated.
So happy to do this.
Pleasure.
That was fun.
Did you know?
Most people are accustomed to eating the sweet, red, fleshy part of the watermelon. But did you know that the seeds and the white part of the rind are also edible?
In Asian countries, the seeds are dried, roasted, seasoned, and eaten as a snack food, ground into cereal, or used to make bread.
Ground-up seeds are also used in horchata de melon, left to sit for a half hour, then strained out before the beverage is served.
The seeds thicken the drink slightly, as well as contribute beneficial oils and protein.
Did you know that most organisms store toxins in the skin?
I did not know that.
If you plan to eat the rind, buy organic watermelons.
Did you know the rind of watermelon is featured in Southern American cooking, where it's marinated, pickled, or candied? And in other parts of the U.S. and in Europe, it's made into jams and chutneys. The rind is stir-fried and stewed in China.
Did you know that Japanese farmers found a way to grow cubic watermelons in metal and glass boxes, forcing them to assume the shape of the receptacles?
What?
Yes. Originally designed to make the melons easier to stack and store, these cube-shaped watermelons can fetch up to triple the price of normal ones. Pyramid-shaped watermelons have also been developed.
Did you know that some cookbooks recommend slices of watermelon, otherwise called watermelon steaks, as a meat substitute for vegetarians? When baked, watermelon has a texture like raw fish, and if grilled, it's been compared to that of seared tuna. One chef even feels that once the fruit's water evaporates via baking, the concentrating flavor and texture leaves the watermelon tender, like that of a steak fillet.
Did you know that Barbara Streisand, she had to do a scene eating a lot of steak, so instead they prepared watermelon steak for her to eat, take after take after take.
Is she vegetarian?
I don't know. Maybe she just didn't want to eat that much steak.
Maybe.
I mean, that sounds disgusting, doesn't it?
That is a lot of steak.
And did you know the amino acid citrulline found in the rind and flesh of the mighty watermelon has properties similar to Viagra?
I want to hear about this.
Both stimulate nitric oxide, which relaxes and expands blood vessels, lowering blood pressure and enhancing blood flow, and thus erectile performance.
Talk about summertime fun.
In fact, watermelon seeds are a symbol of fertility in Chinese weddings.
Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Watermelon. The watermelon is a large fleshy fruit and grows mainly in the summer. It has a lot of minerals and vitamins.
Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon.
Watermelon is high in beta-carotene, antioxidants, and vitamin C. Watermelon also contains large amounts of lycopene and citrulline, which have been linked to lower blood pressure, improved metabolic health, and decreased muscle soreness after exercise.
Watermelons are 92% water and 6% sugar. Although this water-abundant fruit might be a tempting way to relieve dehydration, watermelon's juiciness only quenches thirst temporarily. Those who suffer from water retention will be happy to hear that ultimately watermelon dries the blood because of its high levels of potassium, a diuretic.
To receive the health benefits of watermelon, it is important to know how to eat it.
Eating watermelon at the end of a summer cookout is a bad idea.
Melons digest very quickly, and heavier, more difficult to digest foods prevent watermelon from traveling at its normal rapid rate through the digestive tract. This resulting intestinal traffic jam allows for bacteria to attack the watermelon and ferment it, thus releasing gas.
Try eating it while the veggies are still on the grill, as a snack between meals, drink a watermelon smoothie first thing in the morning, or simply have it on its own as a delicious watermelon soup.
Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. I'm 92% water by weight. I'm green outside and juicy inside. So enjoy the summer with watermelon. Yummy, yummy!
Welcome, Coco, our new correspondent on the street.
My name is Coco, and I was asking people, how do you choose a ripe watermelon?
First, above all things, you slowly approach the basket of watermelons. Don't show fear.
I'm not really sure. Don't you, like, press on the end and see if it's, like, soft or not?
Well, how I know a watermelon's ripe is I thwap it. So I come up and I thwap a few of them, and the one that feels the most solid, the heaviest, that's the one I take home.
How do I pick a ripe watermelon?
Mm-hmm. The knock test. You should hear the ocean in the watermelon. You know, like a water balloon sound, like a watery echo sound. And then I put it to my ear and I knock on it again. I do this 3 times in different places. This is very important.
I can't tell if this is for practical advice or if it's a riddle.
I like to pick a ripe watermelon by turning it around to make sure that there's like a yellow or a white spot on the underbelly. And if it doesn't have a spot, then I know it's been picked too soon, and I definitely won't take it home from the grocery store.
I'm allergic, so I don't pick it.
How'd you pick a ripe watermelon?
Well, a ripe watermelon. Aren't you supposed to plunk it?
like with your finger or something, and then if you hear like Iron Butterfly playing inside, then it's ripe.
Honestly, I'm not an expert on fruit, but in general, I feel like one with a nice colorful rind.
It should look like dark emerald ribbons over the watermelon. Now, the baby sugar watermelons, those are much easier. You don't need to smell them, but I like to. I also like to pet them, and you pick them up, shake them, and then if I have a friend with me, I shake it in my friend's face to make sure that they also feel the vibes of the watermelon. It's not just me enjoying the watermelon, right? It's my friend, too.
And I also look at it in an inspirational kind of way to see what has the most alluring design, which one that speaks to you the most.
I guess that's how I'd pick a watermelon.
But you're not done yet. Then you have to look at the watermelon and ask it, is it okay for me to take you home? Right, I'm not done. And then when the watermelon says yes, you put it in your basket and go home. And then you cut it with a knife and you eat it. Now I'm done. The end.
And this is Coco for the KBU Youth Collective.
Thanks, Coco.
You're listening to Peace, Love, and Soup.
Well, welcome to Peace, Love, and Soup in the Kitchen. And Tavi, what are we making today?
We are going to be making a watermelon soup for the solar eclipse.
Damn, I wish that it was a solar eclipse. Now it's so hot today. It's over 100.
We could definitely use some shade. But this is going to be a cooling soup, and we have all of the ingredients coming right out of the refrigerator.
That's right.
We were inspired by talking to our guest, and we have some inventive ideas of our own to try out for color, crunch, and overall deliciousness. Together with Alicia yesterday, we decided to include jicama, cucumber, mint, and lime juice with the watermelon. That's all very cooling. And then in addition, for fun,
we're going to have honey and the rind of the watermelon, and then also the seeds. You had a little bit of drama trying to find a seeded watermelon, isn't that correct?
I did, and I'm really glad that I bought one coming home from camping because nobody had seeded watermelons, including Whole Foods. And the produce guy at Whole Foods said, it's supply and demand. Nobody wants to deal with seeds, and so we don't carry them. No, in fact, we were accidentally shipped a case of those, and we had to throw them all away because hardly anybody bought them.
Wow, what a shame. And I feel like seeded watermelons are slightly sweeter.
I know. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, any fruit that has seeds is going to have more flavor.
So I'm thinking of what, grapes?